Are you disappointed that we didn't get to see the Pyro's true identity?
Yes and no. I mean, some things are better left unsaid.
I always assumed that he was a koala. Welcome to the Exploding Feral Podcast for June 27th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Word.
What is the word, Edge Guy?
Games.
Oh.
Played a lot of games.
What games have you played? Oh, don't tell me yet. Oh, God, yeah, let's give to that yet. First, we'll start off with the news. How's the news look?
There's also a lot of news. That's the other
news!
Word.
News! Then we'll go straight to our week in gaming. Get to the releases, then after the show, we got our kind of spoiler-filled discussion of the extended edition of, Bioshock 3, Mass Effect 3!
Which we recorded very late last night after we both finished it,
yeah, so
it's a little out of order, but you may not even notice.
You'll love it. You'll yes. loves it.
Yes.
Two pieces.
All right, news it up.
Let's hear
it. So let's start with Nintendo's little shindig last week, where, among other things, they announced the 3DS XL, along with DLC for New Super Mario Bros. 2, a U.S. confirmation for the strategy game with the swords.
Fire Emblem?
Yes. That one.
I like how you're, like, making your pantomime to me. Like, your pantomimes don't help at all. You're like, I don't know what you're doing. Oh, right. Two words.
Layton's coming to America.
Sounds like higher.
Anyway.
Higher poor.
Before I get into the details of the event, one thing was going through my head at first.
I'm sure it was negative, because you always hate Nintendo.
I was just
anything.
Like, why didn't they do this at E3? Was my initial thought. But. Then I thought, no, they're fucking brilliant. Because this is all anybody talked about for 24 hours.
Right, you don't have to compete.
Which now makes me think, why do we have E3?
Well, we won't, probably. Eventually.
I don't think so either. I mean, the reason we had E3 is because there's no way to get a mass message out. So you got all the journalists in one place, showed them everything, and they spent months doling out that information.
Because, like, with this Nintendo thing...
It's called Nintendo Direct.
It's Nintendo Direct. Everyone knew there was an announcement, so it was trending. It was, like, number one on Twitter, so everyone knew it was happening.
And it was at 11 o'clock at night.
So, yeah, it's like, well, we don't really... I love E3, and I would like for it to stay, but I don't know if it will.
No. I really see no need for it.
Which is a shame, because it's great. It's fun. It's like our little...
Yeah,
hall.
But
it's
like
our week extravaganza.
It is, but it's like... A lot of people liken E3 to something like CES, where it's like the gaming industry's show to show off new stuff, but it's not like... The movie industry has a show like that. Like, here's all the looks at Transformers.
Yeah, things kind of like that.
There's
well, Comic Con's kind of like that, honestly, now.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Okay, that's an interesting point.
Which is weird, because it's supposed to be a comic.
Yeah.
Anything else?
But, yeah, well, let's talk about the stuff. What do you think of the 3DS XL?
I mean, I never got the DSi XL. I don't see why the screen's going to be bigger. I don't know why it doesn't have the second analog
knob. That's a mystery. And I'm sick of the people like, oh, you don't really need it because the other one doesn't. What games even use it? Well, let's see. Metal Gear, Kingdom Hearts. Those are two pretty big deal games.
Yeah, it's pretty nice when you have that thing in Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter because I wasn't probably going to buy this anyways if it's just the... XL.
Well, some French journalism outlet got hands-on with it. Mm. They seem to think very highly of it.
Well, I'm sure it's
well,
nice. Because
apparently, like, with the DSi XL, it did just kind of blow everything up. And, it looked jagged as a result. There's some kind of filter being applied, they said, so that it does look better on the bigger screen. Still the same resolution, but it doesn't look like it's just a stretch. And apparently, like... Because of the bigger size, it's more comfortable to hold, which I can understand.
I never had a problem holding it.
I do a little bit.
And
it's
I mean,
not terrible.
I mean, it doesn't bother me that it becomes less portable now, because I never really...
Right.
These things aren't very... I never bring these things to places with me. That's not like I'm going on a vacation, in which case I put them in a suitcase. So.
Yeah. Very few handheld. My phone is in my pocket. That's
like my handheld systems
sport.
Are basically my bed systems. I want to call now. These are the games I play.
Bed, Bath,
I'm
and Beyond,
play in the
Mike.
Bath, yeah. Bed, Bath, and Beyond. It doesn't have the same ring. also slightly copyrighted.
Eh, I like the vernacular.
I mean, it's fine. They're probably going to make a lot of money off it.
Oh, sure.
Sure, it's the first of many 3DS redesigns and whatnot.
They happen.
How many did we have for the DS? We had
DS, DS, DS Lite, DSi, 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 DSi XL, 4.
That's it? Yeah. I feel like there's another one. Maybe you're right, though. I guess that's it. All right, next.
Do you have any opinion on DLC from Nintendo?
You know, it's bound to happen. Here it is.
Yep.
Look out.
Okay.
I mean, I can't wait to see the Pokemon game with the DLC. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Just buy all the Pokemon you want. Yeah. Make it free
to
play.
Gotta buy them all.
Exactly. Hey, kids, get your credit card and catch Pokemon with it.
Yeah.
Get your parents' credit card if you don't have one. Seth Killian left Capcom.
That was weird to me.
It is weird.
I always get, like, do you sometimes kind of get mad when these things happen?
What do you mean?
Well, because, like, when you read the lyrics, it's like these people are like, oh, this was a dream, but now it's time to find my new dream. I'm like, you know, some people don't get one dream.
Yeah, like,
yeah, sometimes I
chill out.
And I mean, it's fine, and I'm not mad at it, but, like, sometimes I read that, it's like, yeah, it must be nice. You guys are lucky.
Well, I don't know, maybe it turns out the fighting game community, like, is, in fact, a bunch of pricks.
It's not even a fair thing, but, like, I even, like, feel like that. Like, that girl who left Valve to make Quantum Conundrum. Like, you left Valve? She's like, I just wanted to find new opportunities. I'm like, you had a pretty... Man. It's like, must be nice, you know?
I mean, art and all that, but...
Right. You know,
in this economy, I'm just saying. I do like, yeah, what he said. He's talking about the fighting game community, where he says, both as individuals as a group, you have taught me more than I could ever thought possible.
I wonder if that... Yeah, I wonder... Yeah, you think if there's, like... Is that just some, like,
wow,
snideness?
I really don't want to deal with you people every day. You're a bunch of whiny bitches.
They're not whiny. They're not whiny. They're mean.
Yeah, that's it. They're mean. They are mean.
Like they that are guy. Jerks. Like that guy.
That we all were mad at a few months ago. They also announced from Capcom, Okami HD.
That's cool.
I guess. I mean, good on you, people who like Okami. I've tried twice and cannot get into that game.
Yeah, I had the same thing.
I watched the trailer and got bored.
It's very slow.
I'm just...
It's very dialogue heavy.
I can never again... I'm sorry, I just gone past this. I can never get to play a game where there's slow-scrolling dialogue boxes and the characters are stuck in little animation loops where they're waving their arms around.
And they talk in, like, the gibberish.
I can't do it anymore.
The Banjo-Kazooie gibberish thing?
Yeah, I just don't have the patience for it. I really don't.
Did that bother you in Epic Mickey? Because that was kind of an Epic Mickey.
A little bit. That's why I'm very glad the second one has voice acting.
Right, it helps.
I mean, an Epic Mickey didn't have... it's more about the repetitive animation thing. I just think that's so lazy.
Right.
But, yeah. Move support.
Woo!
Woo! So, Kojima, like, said something about Metal Gear 5.
Solid 5.
Every website had the headline, Metal Gear Solid 5 confirmed or announced.
I mean, it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't an announcement, but we all knew this is what he's doing because he will never stop.
I don't understand what they're going to do because,
well,
I still don't understand how you can set a Metal Gear Solid game after Metal Gear Solid 4.
Well, like based off this one comment he said about it having some kind of social interactions like Deus Ex Human Revolution. Like,
what does that mean?
The MTV multiplayer blog was like, now clearly this means that the game is going to take place in the Naked Snake era. I was like, what? How did you divine that?
What?
I mean, yeah, it makes sense because, like you said, you can't really do Solid Snake again.
I wouldn't assume.
It's Kojima. He does whatever the fuck he wants, so who knows?
Maybe they
found a youth serum for Solid Snake.
Because if you do that shit again, then it's going to be a whole other game where it's like, Solid Snake is going to die.
Yeah, the last mission for reals.
Yeah, this time it's really... Well, I don't know. Set it in the 80s. We haven't had that yet, right? That'd be fun.
Cold War?
Well, 60s was also cool, but like late Cold War, yeah. Reagan Cold War style, man.
There you go.
Star Wars. Not like real Star Wars, but like when he wanted to.
Oh, that Star Wars!
Like when he literally wanted to make like satellites with lasers.
Yeah,
to shoot down
he
missiles.
Was a crazy, crazy dude. Cliffy B, even though we're not supposed to call him that anymore, he thinks games are too easy, Mike.
Well, it's his fault.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Didn't you make Gears of War?
You were the one who did he invent the whole stay behind cover and regain health thing? That was him, right?
More or less. Him and Call of Duty had the regenerating health first, but...
Did? I guess so.
The thing that worries, that's worrisome about this is he's saying, like, oh, like, you know, look at how people like Dark Souls, like, that's great, and I'm going to carry that in the Gears of War Judgment, so when you're playing Gears of War Judgment, you will die. Difficulty is not about me dying over and over. It's just about something being challenging.
Well, but yeah, but still, there is... I will agree with him in the sense that we seem to be very... I see so many people complain when they die in a game these days. And yeah. I think the community is to blame for games being too easy because they always do complain when they die. And when they die, it's everybody's fault.
Well, there's a difference between dying in a game because the developer said this room's going to be hard.
Yeah, I know.
So let me finish my thought. So I'm going to put them in like a whole, but like a wave after wave after wave of enemies in this room, and it's just going to be a slugfest. Or if a game's hard because of something like Dark Souls, where it's about the technicality of the game, learning the systems.
Okay, but I don't think gamers can make that distinction either. Because I saw so many people complain about dying in Uncharted 3, and sometimes it's like, okay, I missed a jump and it was bullshit, but a lot of times you just die.
But the thing is, damn it, I almost said it.
it's like, how do I introduce this spot
in a game?
Without saying the thing is,
in a game like Dark Souls, you can have complexity in the systems because it's a melee between you and one opponent with swords and shields and shit. There's finesse to that.
You're shooting a gun at it, dude.
How do you make that harder?
You make it harder because he's more powerful. Sometimes he'll kill you if you're not strategic enough with cover or with what weapon you're using, whatever.
But in most games, difficulty becomes your shots do less damage, they do more, they take more hits to kill, you don't.
Okay.
That's not making a game more challenging.
Sure it is.
It is, but it's very artificial.
Why is it artificial? So it's so.
If I headshot
a dude, so
a
shooting game is not allowed to be hard, is what you're saying?
No.
Yes, it is.
That's not what I'm saying. You can make it harder by creating unique situations that I don't think the Gears of War series is equipped to create.
So you don't want to die when you play Gears of War?
No, I don't mind if I die because I fucked up. I will be mad if I die.
It's not always you messed up. It's like you had the wrong strategy. Try again. That's what it is.
That's exactly what I just said. Messing
but
up.
That's
and
what
the wrong
it is
strategy.
Already.
But if it's because I walk into a room and immediately like a guy that I can't see snipes me and it's like, oop, there's snipers.
When does
in this
that
room.
Happen? When has that happened? That doesn't happen. This is a made up scenario. You think that happens? It doesn't happen.
Okay.
You're wrong.
I'm just saying, don't expect Dark Souls-esque finesse in the
look,
next Gears
I'll tell you,
of War.
Here's a spoiler. Gears of War Judgment is not going to be hard.
Yeah,
he's
that's
lying.
Also true.
Okay, so don't worry about that. It's fucking Gears of War. No, I do love, though, that he's complaining about this when he was one of the biggest people who got it going.
Yeah.
Christ. I mean, games are definitely too easy, for sure. But you know, every time someone dies, like, oh, I wasted 15 minutes of my life. What the fuck does that mean? You're playing a video game. You're already, quote unquote, wasting your life if you want to put that spin on it. You're not doing anything productive.
Well, the other thing, too, is you can almost break games into two kind of broad categories of, like, games you play for the challenge, something like a Super Meat Boy, and games that you are just kind of playing for the excitement and the narrative, something like an Uncharted.
And they can play it on easy mode, but they don't want to because it hurts their pride.
Exactly.
If they really want to, but they won't. So then they complain about it's too hard. Whatever. I love the fact that Uncharted 3 was actually a lot harder than, say, Gears of War 3. Everyone complained. It said that the shooting was wrong. What? Yeah, okay, guys. Next.
Well, another week, another opportunity for Blizzard to continue fucking up Diablo 3.
I saw some graph that claimed that the amount of player, like the player base, has drastically gone down. I don't know if this was true or if this was just Reddit, like, flame baiting.
Well, here's what they're doing now.
What's going on?
If you buy the game digitally, you are put into a 72-hour probation period, basically.
Oh, this thing. We haven't talked about
this
yet.
Yeah, we haven't done this yet. So for 72 hours, your, like, account's under review while they check your background or something.
Okay, yeah.
During that time, you can't get past Act 1. You can only go to level 13. You can't trade with anybody. You can't use the auction house.
Well, yeah, so why do they do this? They want
to... To stop gold farmers, I guess. I don't know.
I don't see how it stops. Couldn't gold farmers just wait 3 days and then start farming gold?
Well, somehow, presumably, they'll be able to tell their gold farmers in that 72 hours and not approve their purchase. Well, I think it's ridiculous that you are buying the game directly from the developer, giving them $60, and they're like, hang on a second.
Everything about how they've handled Diablo 3 has been kind of weird.
And it all stems from this fucking real money auction house. This thing's really starting to annoy me.
Yeah, I really wish it was not a thing.
It really is just... It's breaking the whole game, I think. Do you see today's Penny Arcade?
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's a game about finding loot. You are spending money to get things to help you find other things.
Yeah, you may as well, like,
just find the things.
It's like spending money to kill people on a screen in, like, a shooter. Like, what's the point?
Like, at least, like, if there was, like, a multiplayer component, which I guess is coming, like, I could almost understand. Like, why are you buying a better axe to go kill Diablo again?
Well, like, I
so
guess...
You could get a so you could find a better axe.
Well, why you beat anything? I mean, the whole point is, like, oh, maybe you'll beat the game in the hardest difficulty, which is apparently, like, almost impossible right now.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, if you get good enough loot, if you buy enough loot, maybe you'll do it.
It cracks me up, too, that, like, they're so worried about... You know, making it harder to kill things and reducing player skills so they're not so powerful. It's a single-player game. Who cares?
It's not, though. They're making it a multiplayer game, primarily.
You can...
That's what I... Because I always thought of Diablo 2 as, like, a game that was single-player and had this nice multiplayer feature. Who cares?
Well, no. I mean, even in co-op, who cares if the monk's overpowered? You're not hurting anybody. You're helping them.
Well, now it's not fair because the monk will have an easier time beating the game and people will be mad because he'll get world first and stuff first.
Who gives a fuck?
It's an MMO mentality now.
Well, it needs to go away. I said
that's
before how Diablo 3 has shown me why I don't need MMOs, but I don't need MMOs in Diablo 3. Like, seriously, it's so annoying because the game itself is fantastic. I love the experience of playing Diablo 3. I don't even mind the gold auction house. Because at least that's like a loop within the game
right,
itself.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's basically trading. You're selling stuff and buying stuff. Mm-hmm. All this crap that has been breaking this experience in the name of this stupid real money auction house. Just remember the other night I was playing it. I found Leoric's crown.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, hang on to that. It might be worth something. I was like, yeah, you're right. I go just for kicks. I go into the real money auction house. There were, like, 800 of them.
Well, that's the weird thing. I don't even understand how the economy works. There's so many people playing the game.
Yeah, it's not like what makes a truly scarce item? Because they've said time and again, well, you should be able to play without the auction house. It's just a convenience. Really? Well, it's got to go one way or the other.
Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
No. It was some guy said, hey, we can make money. And they didn't.
And they might be making a lot of money, really.
They probably are. Which is why they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
But, Kurt Schilling says he's tapped out. He's
done games?
No, he's got no money.
Oh, I thought you meant like he quit.
Well, that too, probably. But he did a radio interview in Boston, and even he was like, I sunk everything. I never took a paycheck. He had the conversation with his family that, you know, life is going to be different. He'll probably be on ESPN's very soon.
Yeah, just get an analyst job.
So my question to you is, do you ultimately blame Kurt for what happened?
I mean, I don't know. I guess he is the guy in charge, right? So he shoulders a lot of the blame. I don't know if
it seems like the two parties to potentially blame are either him or the government of Rhode Island.
I feel like his thing was, I want to make an MMO.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
No.
Because, like, he didn't really care about Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. Because to him, that was, this is going to help me make my MMO.
That was the Magic Kingdom to his Epcot.
Right. He seemed to be a guy who liked World of Warcraft a lot, and he had a lot of money, so he's like, oh, I'm going to make my own. It's going to be betterer. Now, in his defense, World of Warcraft exists because a bunch of people from Blizzard said, we like EverQuest. We want to make EverQuest, but betterer.
Right.
It worked that time.
Yeah.
He got lucky. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it's his fault. It sucks.
Yes. Criterion is now the only studio working on Need for Speed.
I'll continue to not care.
You're not excited for the new one? That's basically the Burnout Paradise sequel we always wanted?
I don't know.
All right. Poopy pants.
I'm done.
Do you see all the hoop-a-da-doo, there's a new word, with the Fez patch?
Yeah, it got taken down because it broke save files or something,
like,
right?
Like, real bad.
Yeah. I don't know how it passed certification, but...
Exactly. What's the point of Microsoft charging thousands of dollars for patch certification if that happens?
Like, yeah, they're mad.
Does Polytron get a refund?
I imagine something.
Granted, they're the ones who developed the patch, too. They probably should have caught this themselves. I like how they're like, we're mortified this happened. We're so sorry.
I always love when people use the word mortified.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah, mortified. What's that? Doesn't that mean deadly scared? Like,
mort is in there, so
yeah,
I guess
so. Yeah,
so.
So there's something about death in there. That's how terrified you are. We're mortified. Oh, come on. Mortified.
So was anyone else surprised to see the likes of Bowser and Wreck-It Ralph? Because that seems like a hard thing to swing.
Oh, yeah. But
apparently the Wreck-It Ralph game, based off the movie about games, is coming out exclusively to Nintendo systems.
Which is interesting. Well, I'm assuming this is part of the deal to get those characters in the game.
Yeah, well, it's DS, 3DS, and Wii, not even Wii U.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. You know why?
That doesn't matter.
They're making it on the cheap.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't...
Spoiler, this will not be a very good game.
It's only weird because you usually want to get it on as many platforms as possible.
Yeah, so some money had to change hands or some deal had to be struck.
Whatever.
Mike, do you think gamers are whiny bitches?
Do I think there are more whiny bitches than other groups of people in America?
Good point, Mike. You have what I call rational thought. Two other people in the gaming world do not. First, let's talk about your friend and mine, Reggie Fils-Aimé. He's had it with hardcore gamers because the way he sees it, everyone's like, give us Pikmin, give us Pikmin. And then like 7 years later, they're like, oh, here you go. And we weren't like tearing down the walls with excitement enough for him. Then they're like, hey, you should do a new Mario. And they did like, okay.
But you should make a Mario launch game.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we'll HDify that other one we made real quick. Here you go. Aren't you happy?
You're slightly upset.
I'm being a little bit of a dick. But yeah, basically, he's upset that like everyone's asking for Pikmin. They give us Pikmin, and we're like, what else was his wording?
Well, yeah, I mean, he lived in America for a while, right? I assume that he knows how consumerism works.
Yes.
So I don't know what point he's trying to make. I'm sure he's frustrated.
The thing that bothers me is when he's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, Wii Fit, that's dumb.
Yeah,
and it sold 43 million copies.
What
you know
does that
what?
Mean?
Yeah, it sold 43 million copies to a bunch of people who bought it, used it for a week, put it in their closet, and those people will not be buying a Wii U. I'm sorry.
Maybe, but yeah.
I'm very sorry.
That was kind of the problem.
I don't think he gets, like I said, people were asking for a Pikmin 3 years ago. And, like, then, like, last year, Miyamoto already told us it's coming. So it's not like it was, like, this big, oh, thank God, here it is. Like, oh, if you a year later decide to actually show it to us, okay, that's fine. What else you got? We knew about this already. And like I said, we said this. We didn't necessarily, like, it's fine that a new Super Mario Brothers is coming out on Wii U. But we want the sequel to Mario Galaxy, the next big thing in Mario.
The problem with these new Super Mario Brothers games is that they all look the same.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, even with, like, the NES Mario games. Like, Mario 2
one
looked very different from 1.
2 and 3 and World, yeah, they were all completely different.
Until we hit Super Mario 64, kind of like the art style got finalized. Like, they stopped evolving
it. They started putting it in everything, so there had to be consistency.
Right. And the consistency always kind of hurts it. Like, at least in Mario Sunshine, there's a different setting. In Mario Galaxy, there's a different setting. But these games, they just all look like HD versions of Super Mario World, essentially.
Right.
And,
it's safe.
Yeah, it's like
it's very safe, and they're fine. Like I said, they're fine games, and I'm glad to have it. But at the same time, like if you're gonna make like a launch title for the Wii U, Mario Brothers, it should be like this is a game that could not be played any other way except
right.
with the Wii U. We've played this game before. I know it can be played without the Wii U.
That's always been the kind of the point of. Like, because the real Mario games are always sort of a big deal in some way.
Yeah,
like I think that's why people. Sort of were down on Sunshine, not because it was a bad platform, but because it was a safer platform.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically Mario 64 with a water gun, and I like that water gun.
Yeah,
but a lot of people were like, eh.
And Galaxy 2 kind of got away with it just because it was so clever with its level design that people still kind of saw it as like, oh, this is amazing. But yeah, I don't know why he can't really expect people to be that excited for another 2D.
Plus,
Mario
I just think like in the months leading up to a new hardware platform launch, you shouldn't hold your largest audience in contempt.
Yeah, that's never a good idea. So I don't know what his goal here is. I mean, people are going to forget about this in like a month, anyways.
Right.
He said stuff like this before.
Then the producer of Tekken, whose name is Katsuhiro Harada, he just started blowing up on Twitter at pissy fans who want like characters and original voice actors in Tekken. If I were him, I'd be thrilled people still give a damn personally.
Yeah, honestly. God, Tekken, really.
I just want to tell these people, like, when you read comments on the internet, keep in mind two things. You're dealing with either fervent fanboys or children.
I don't know why they get upset about it.
Yeah.
I guess there comes a point where it's like you're having a bad day, and then all of a sudden you have 500 messages from fanboys whining, and it's just like...
Even if you have 500 messages in a million-selling franchise, that's... What percentage of your fan base? Just ignore it.
Yeah, I know. They kind of have to learn to be adults about the whole thing a
bit
more.
In the internet age, stuff gets around. Be quiet. You know who else is quiet? Oh, man. Teeing it up.
What?
The pyro, because he's wearing, or she is wearing a mask.
I'm going to say he.
It.
Yeah.
Meet the Pyro is released today.
What other stuff have they done during the Pyro update besides that? There's a new mode.
New map and mode called Doomsday, which involves a rocket.
I would need to
monkey.
Play that.
Another map, I believe, was yesterday, and there's some new weapons for the Pyro, Soldier, Sniper, and Scout.
Cool.
Which is why they feature in the video more than... Yeah. Except the Heavy. Everyone likes the Heavy. Yeah. But yeah, so they have the Meet the Pyro. That means they're all done, which is super cool.
Are they, like, you think they're going to slow down on, like, Team Fortress 2?
Well, I don't know, because we're still waiting to see what this collaboration is between Valve and Cartoon Network.
Oh, you assume that's a Team Fortress thing? Do you assume it's going to be a cartoon? Is that what you think?
I think that the problem is, whether it is or not, that is the assumption en masse. And if it's not that, people will be disappointed.
Team Fortress is just kind of violent for Cartoon Network.
Have you watched Cartoon Network lately? Have you seen Adventure Time?
Adventure Time's kind of weird. It's not like, I mean, somebody was missing his, the middle of his chest in that.
Yeah, but it's so cartoony. It's not like...
still, there's blood. There's not blood in Adventure Time. I don't know. Maybe. It's kind of a weird show because you have two teams of the same exact people, right?
Uh-huh.
So how do you do that? It doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be a Team Fortress cartoon show. It'd be cool. Yeah. I'd like that. I mean, it took them how long to make that 2-minute video, though, on the Pyro.
Did you enjoy meeting the Pyro?
Yeah, it was great. It was very funny.
And as it showed at the end, Valve released their... I forgot to write down the name of it. It's a tool for making movies in the Source Engine. It's probably called the Source Engine Movie Tool.
Something like that.
Oh, shit. What's it called? The Source Filmmaker. It's in closed beta now, but it's the same tool set they use to create these films, so you'll be able to do your own.
Oh, that's fun.
It's pretty rad.
Yes.
And yes... I'm done talking about news.
Oh, really?
Let's talk about games.
Oh, you've played a lot of games. I haven't really, because for circumstances usually, because I can't play Dawn Guard because it's not on PC.
Ha ha ha. Should I talk about that first then?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'm not super far into it. I kind of just started, really. Two things I can speak to. I got a crossbow.
Yeah.
They're freaking rad.
Cool.
Well, I mean, I'm playing it with my level 12 like thief character, so the crossbow is like twice as powerful as the bow I had already had. Thing is, bolts are kind of scarce so far. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll pop up more, but I just ran out, and I don't know where to get more. There's a new enemy type I encountered, gargoyles. Like, you'll see, like, you know, all these statues, now you have to wonder, well, which ones are going to pop to life? And they're, like, super aggressive. Like, they have this really cool charge animation. Very fun.
Is there, like, a new, like, landmass, or...?
Kind of. To go to the Dawnguard Fortress, there's, like, a crevice in, like, a mountainous cave thing. You, like, clicked on it, and then you're in, like, a kind of openish area where the Dawnguard Hold is.
Yeah.
And then the castle where the vampires is, I'm just about to go there. You, like, have to take a little boat across some water.
So you're going there. So, yeah. So you can join one of those factions. And is there a skill tree for each new one? Because I know there's a skill tree for vampires.
There's a skill tree for vampires. The crossbows just use your existing skills from archery.
Okay. That's kind of disappointing.
But it's also good because, you know, you didn't waste anything by going in archery. There are other landmasses. I think there's, like, two planes of oblivion you go to in the game that are fairly large.
Are there, did they increase the level cap at all?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so does this feel more Knights of the Nine or more,
I'm too early into it. I haven't really done anything yet. All I've done is gone in the one dungeon that was, it was in Skyrim itself. I don't know what would happen if you went to that place before getting the DLC.
Yeah.
But I played through that. I have this person with me that I'm taking somewhere. Won't be vague. So, I mean, I don't know yet what the scope is. I'll have to finish it. But I like the crossbow a lot.
Talk about Spider-Man then. You got
the amazing Spider-Man is amazing. Haha, see what I did there?
Yeah, very clever.
Thank
you.
I really like this game a lot. It is exactly what I hoped it was. It is the Batmanification of Spider-Man.
But does it feel as good as Batman? Because that's not a movie game. This is a movie game.
Yeah. Yes, I would say. The combat is straight up Batman.
But what about, like, the presentation?
Presentation falters a bit. Yeah. Let me talk about gameplay first. Because the punching and kicking is Batman. X button to attack, Y button to counter. When you've gotten your combo up so far, if you've unlocked it, you hit B button for a special move that just immediately incapacitates
Batman.
It's Batman. But you also have your web abilities. Now, like, kind of basic melee web abilities just get worked into your combat flow automatically. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. You don't have to, like, worry about, like, remember, like, the first Spider-Man games was, like, 800 different combo attacks for different web things that didn't really matter.
Right.
Because punching and kicking was just as effective. So now, though, you have your web swinging and web rush. Web rush is one of the most ingenious things ever done in a Spider-Man game. This is the thing where you hit right bumper, everything slows down, and you see yellow outlines of places Spider-Man can go. And really, you can go anywhere. Those are kind of more suggestions, but you can go to any wall or ceiling or whatever. You let go of the button, he takes off.
Can you just tap it if you wanted to?
You can tap it to do quick goes, yeah. Yeah. Not only can you use that to get the places, but you can use it in combat. You could web attack onto an enemy. You can web attack to, like a dumpster, and Spider-Man will pick it up and throw it at the guys. You could integrate all this together really seamlessly. It works really, really, really well. And then just when you're going around the city, like, this is the most fun I've had moving around as Spider-Man. I know you were not too high on the fact that it's not like Spider-Man 2, where you actually had to physically web onto buildings,
yeah,
and, like, it was physics-based. But it doesn't bother me, because they've made the movement feel good enough where you don't really notice that. Like, you will see his webbing, like, going nowhere and attaching to nothing. Like, it does happen. Mm-hmm. But there is some kind of logic and limit to it where, like, it will tend to have you swing when you're lower to a ground plane. Not the ground itself, but, like, a rooftop of the ground.
What if you got to the highest point in the game, you jumped off it and tried to web swing?
You would probably swing. You might drop a bit. Like, it wouldn't be immediate, but it wouldn't be, like, still completely realistic. It's comic booky.
Yeah, okay.
But it works. But, like, there's an early boss fight where you're fighting this big siege weapon thing, and you're swinging around it, and you're trying to get to his weak points. It just felt so fun and fluid, the way I was moving around this thing. I was weaving in and out of it. I was in complete control. My mouth is giving out on me. You need to talk next.
All right, well, okay, so how's, like, how's the Stan Lee DLC?
It's hilarious. I mean, it's very hacky feeling, even. It's just kind of there. I mean, it was a fun bonus. But,
Would you say, this takes place after the movie. Does that bother you? Would you suggest people wait till they saw the movie?
If you're super gung-ho about spoilers, even more than me, because there is one spoiler that didn't bother me, yeah, you might want to wait.
I mean, it's just a few days now.
Yeah. But to your point about presentation, yeah, not its strong suit. You're not going to have, like, the super detailed character models and facial animation. The voice acting's fine. But I don't feel like I'm watching, like, an almost CG film like I did in Batman. It's kind of clunky. Spider-Man looks fine because he doesn't have a mouth. But, yeah, it's really good. I like it a lot.
Cool. All right, what else did you play?
Let's talk about Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, right.
You can talk for a bit.
Okay, cool. Well, I love Kingdom Hearts, and I like this a lot. It's really, gameplay-wise, most similar to Birth by Sleep. And it's like Birth by Sleep, where it definitely matches the kind of, you know, graphically or technically, the performance level of the PS2 game. So we're at that level with the Nintendo handheld. That's nice. What's wrong?
We're back to the PS2 games.
Oh. Shut up, that guy.
I liked how it came up with the 10-year anniversary logo at the beginning, and yeah. I was like,
"But
there's been two of these."
Hey, no, there's been more. There's been a lot of handheld games, including this one. But, you know, even just like that title screen, they're playing the song. You know, I just get into it, I guess. You know, and you start, and, like, the character from The World Ends With You shows up. I'm like, ooh, I'm so happy. But the cool thing is, like, the glide or...
But
go ahead.
He shows up in Traverse Town. How many times do I have to go to Traverse Town?
Yeah, they reuse these areas a lot. It does seem to actually look different this time, I think, at least. It's actually...
You're telling yourself that,
no,
I think.
I'm very familiar with the...
You should be. You've been there 800
geography
times.
Of Traverse Town, yeah. But it's not going to be like... Some of those games, they only do that. I think Traverse Town's the only one you really revisit in this one, right?
Yeah, it's just you always go to Traverse Town.
Well, it's the hub. What do you want? That's not really a hub, but it's, it's one of the... It's like, hey, this is a city that is not from a game, so we're going to use it again.
Yeah, I guess.
But it was cool. Like it played Kingdom Heartsy with like the couple of cool different things. The really thing
what's
is,
that
like,
thing called? The movement thing?
I can't remember. But it's like the
flow
thing.
Flow control.
Yeah, flow
or
control
something.
Or something. But it's basically it's like you push the one button and you like
you zip around.
You zip around. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You kind of zip around all crazy like.
You grind on and, rails. And you dash off
and
walls.
And it depends on what you kind of zip around
but
on.
It's also cool in combat. I like the way it works.
Yeah,
because
you can. Use it to go right into moves. Like so you can like do it to a pole and you go swinging around a pole. You go on a rail, you're you know, grinding. You wall jump off of walls. It's cool. It's fast. It's manic. It has kind of always been a lot of like Kingdom Hearts. It's like it's an action RPG that gets kind of fast and crazy sometimes. There's this ability where you can send people to like the bottom screen almost where depending on what world you're in, it's like a different almost like mini game. So in Traverse Town, you can almost like you can aim them.
Oh, that
slingshot
changes
while.
Depending where you are.
Yeah, that's always different. But it's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Like you said, the biggest problem is that the camera's a little too close, so you can't.
Yeah, like I mean, like not even like the DSi XL or 3DS DXL would help. It's just that like the resolution the game is rendered in, Sora takes up too much space on the screen.
It's sometimes
and
it's
when
hard
you
to see
are
what's happening.
Zipping around, the camera does not keep up with
you. Well, it's a little hard. Sometimes.
You're looking at like Sora's head the whole time. But you can't see anything.
I'm pretty excited.
That's a problem. Also, like you don't really get this much in the demo, but the game does have this like Dragon Quest, I guess, sort of thing, where you're recruiting monsters into your second and third party slots.
Yeah.
Can't I just have Donald and Goofy?
Well, Donald Goofy are in the plot of this game.
I don't care.
But it doesn't make sense.
I don't care. Nothing makes sense. I'm sure they could have come up with some contrivance that everyone would have been like, oh, yes, this is now part of the Kingdom Hearts canon.
Donald and Goofy are in the game. They're just in the one world.
But I want them in my party.
Well, they're not.
Look, I'm sure there are some people out there who are like, oh, Organization 13 and Xenoheart took the heart and soul of Roxas and the Sora. Like, I'm sure there's people who fucking love that. And good on them. Like, do you know why I initially like Kingdom Hearts and why I still play it? So that I can see Donald take a hit in combat, call for help, and Jack Skellington heals him.
And that's very cool.
That's why I play Kingdom Hearts.
That's kind of proper number stuff. Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm sure Donald Goofy will be in your team, and, you know, you have all that.
And in 20 years, we might play it.
Man, it'll be happening soon. It's going to be weird to me that we might go through this entire generation without a console Kingdom Hearts game.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of the few franchises where it's like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a Kingdom Hearts game for the PS3? Like, what franchise hasn't had a game on, like, the 360 or PS3?
Right.
It is a baffling decision. It's like, man, Square Enix, you suck. Yeah. In the meantime, they're developing Kingdom Hearts versus 13, which at this point I assume will never come out.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. But you liked it, though, right? It was cool.
No, I do like it. Generally, I like it. I'll probably get it.
It played well.
It plays the best of any Kingdom Hearts game I've played.
Yeah, it plays smooth. And it looks very good. It's probably one of the best-looking 3DS games, too.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
There was.
What?
Oh, we can give a quick non-spoiler impression of Mass Effect.
It's better. It's better. Yeah. Listen to the end.
It's better. And also, if your reason for not liking this new ending is, well, they should have done the indoctrination theory, fuck off. All right? It never was the indoctrination theory. It's never going to be the indoctrination
People
theory.
Wanted to believe
you
so
made
bad.
It
I feel
up
bad.
Through a series of contrivances, most of which I can actually very easily disprove. And, yeah, that's not it, so shut up. Also, I'm sick of the people who are like, I already like the ending, and this makes it worse. No, it doesn't. It's the same ending. But it explains all the crap, like, where did everybody go?
I usually am very much for you. People have opinions. You can't be wrong. But if you like the Mass Effect 3 ending, I really... And now I want to have it explained, but I have it explained to me. It just makes no sense.
Well, people who like the original ending filled in a lot of the gaps themselves.
Well,
and they accepted that, I guess.
I don't even mean with the indoctrination theory stuff. I just mean some people are like, I like the fact that it's vague and pseudo-intelligent.
No, it's not. Just well, because, yeah. Like,
well, it is pseudo-intelligent. That's why it's garbage.
Yeah.
Or was garbage. It's,
yeah, there are those people who like associate vague endings with art.
Yeah, and that's my least favorite kind of interpretation.
Yeah, no, it's just lazy.
Yeah, it's so bad. All right.
And finally, one last thing I didn't want to talk about is an iPhone game, but it's called The Act.
What's the act?
The first time I've ever felt like I was playing a cartoon. It's a hand-drawn animated game where you're playing as like this window washer who.
What about Dragon's Lair?
No, Dragon's Lair. You just kind of pushing the play button over and over, but it always kept moving. It's like an adventure game where you're just trying to make this nurse like you, and there's a series of events. Has a very kind of Chuck Jones slapsticky style to it. But the way you play it is when you're in like a play scene, mm-hmm. you slide your finger left or right on the screen. Depending how far and how fast you slide, you influence the actions of the main character to be more aggressive or more subdued or more, you know, kind of non-confrontational. So you're just kind of affecting his mood and his actions that way. But it all plays very seamlessly. Now, and people complain because it's like 20 to 30 minutes and it's $3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you pay $2 for a 30-minute TV episode. And this one you can play.
There you go.
So I think it's worth it. I thought it was super cool. It was super charming. Definitely check it out.
You ready for the releases?
I don't know, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so Dawn of Guard comes out for 360 only.
Yay!
Boo. Ghost Recon Future Soldier for PC.
Okay.
Some Battlefield 3 DLC, la la la. Legends of Pegasus for PC. That looks exciting. The Amazing Spider-Man for PS3 and 360.
Yay!
Spec Ops The Line for 360 PC.
I realize I know little about this game. I was listening to the guy who's the lead designer on it on Weekend Confirmed.
Apparently it's a more realistic war game.
No, it's not even that. It's just story-driven.
No.
Well, it's actually not realistic.
Oh, well, I don't know what it is then. Record of Argrist War 2 for PS3.
Oh, man, I love the first one.
Project Zero 2 Wii Edition.
Oh, man, I love the first one.
The official London 2012 video game. The Olympic Games.
I love the first one where they were all naked.
And Brothers in Arms Furious 4 for PC, 360, and PS3.
Wait, what?
Maybe that's an old... Nah, that's not true. That's GameSpot's system being messed up. That's not coming out today.
I was going to say, there's a new Brothers in Arms.
Yes,
at
there
all?
Is a Brothers in Arms being made by Gearbox, but this is not coming out.
They're still doing that?
Yes. Maybe not, because...
Is that you're sure it's not just like an HD collection or something?
No, this was going to be a game.
Oh.
But I don't think it's... I don't know.
Okay, then.
All right. All right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody.
Announcement time!
Oh, yeah, we're going to be Wednesdays now, like this
one is. We realize, like, we get in these situations where we'd be like, oh, there's all this stuff coming out Tuesday. Let's just wait a day and do the show then.
Yeah, so.
Why don't we just always do that?
So that's what we're doing.
That way, when stuff comes out on Tuesday, we can talk about it on Wednesday.
So always on Wednesday now, new time slot on the internet.
Yay.
You find more of us at ebpodcast.com.
Keep going. I'm going to cut in now.
Ebpodcast.com. Ebpodcast.com, I mean. I don't know why you threw me off completely. I have kind of a momentum to this. There's a rhythm to it. Twitter.com/ExplodingBarrel. Facebook.com/ExplodingBarrel. Go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review.
Or you can go to the new podcast app on the iPhone. Did you see that?
No.
They have, like, Apple made an actual podcast
really?
App.
That's
very
that.
Slick. We're
all
on
right.
there, too.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
On Wednesday. Just hold on.
Mass Effect 3 extended ending.
Which I just literally finished.
Yeah. It's better.
Yes.
I dare say,
good. I'm fine.
Well, I mean, it doesn't ruin everything anymore.
Yeah. Mass Effect has been saved, everybody.
I guess the other ending was so bad, I literally, like, I don't even like Mass Effect anymore.
The whole trilogy's done.
Right, like, Well, I mean, the thing this does, doesn't really change the ending. What it does, though...
I thought it did.
Well, it kind of, but what it really does, it addresses the plot holes.
Well...
That's the big thing it does.
It's not so much that it addresses plot holes. It literally feels like this stuff was missing. Like, oh, we forgot to put these in. Whoops.
Well, that's a whole other thing where it's like, is this really what they intended along?
Let's say, like, the first major thing that happens.
The first major thing is the worst thing.
Yes.
It's because it's the most forced.
Yes. Where... You're running to the bean.
Because
there's Harbinger shooting shit, and then whoever your two squad mates with you are get blown up, kind of. You call the Normandy for evac and it just flies right in. Now here's the thing, I did it. Drink.
Here's the thing.
before that happened, we were trying to get to that blue beam, but couldn't because there was a Reaper in the way that we had to blow up. So we couldn't just fly in because there's a Reaper there. So now a bigger Reaper is there, and two people got hurt who are important to us.
Yeah, but...
But to the galaxy, they're not important.
Yeah, everybody's getting blown away. They wrote themselves into a corner with that one.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, yeah, like, oh, well, now we'll come. Like, why didn't we just fly right in the first place? Here, I'll fly by, right. Jump out the door. It doesn't even matter if you have a parachute. Just land in the beam.
It's definitely the one that feels the most forced. It is. It's like, why isn't Harbinger just shooting Normandy?
To
right
that
now?
Scene's credit, now, I don't know how this played out for you. Because I'm playing a femshep who has a romantic relationship
with Kate. Yeah, Liara was there for me.
So you have you get to have your goodbye moment, assuming they were
nice.
With you.
Yeah.
I like that. That moment was great. I mean, even like the look on Caden's face as he left, I was like, fantastic. Thank you. That's good. I got some kind of, like, they thought they gave us closure when you're saying goodbye in London, but then you're in a squad together. So, like, you didn't really say goodbye. It's like, hey, I'm going to see you in 5 minutes. We're going to go do this thing.
Right.
But yeah, so I liked that moment gave the relationship closure. Mm-hmm. And then that was good.
Then everything's basically the same until Starchild.
Starchild is funny because as you're hearing about all the different options, you have like an option on the left now, especially like, wait,
what?
Explain.
Yeah, basically it's like,
hang on
like
a second. What?
It's literally like exactly what went into my head at first, like, what do you mean?
Wait, enough with your bullshit. But, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, it's good because they finally throw in the like Mass Effect dialogue wheel. You can actually talk to him about them,
right?
And like Shepard will say, you know, it'll say screw you a little bit. Did you know you could actually either through dialogue reject all of them or just shoot him, and then
really?
You get an ending where he doesn't do anything. He says basically fuck you, and then like you know basically the ending is the Reapers win, and it's like this shows Liara's like. Begin telling some future generation like that.
That's
kind of
nice. Cool.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of sucks that it's like the only time in the game where Shepard does this whole "I'm going to do it my way" thing, and that's the wrong option.
Yeah,
but still,
but
it's nice
still
that it's there.
Kind of cool. I like that.
Right.
Now, you because your galactic readiness degraded.
Yeah,
because
the multiplayer affected my ending. Because the galactic readiness goes down unless you play multiplayer to 50%.
Yeah, it degrades.
So because that happened, I didn't have the synthetic option
anymore.
Now,
so that means you probably missed it. When Starchild is explaining synthesis, did you at least watch that?
No, I didn't get to see that.
It does a pretty convincing job of saying, this is the correct answer.
Right. Yeah, I saw the video.
Everybody
like,
lives in perfect harmony.
Yeah, it seems to be like the Eden answer, right?
Yeah. And I mean, he even flat out says it's the ideal solution.
Right.
That's a quote.
Yeah.
Now, I
and you don't get that in the original ending at all.
No.
The synthesis sounds like the worst option.
Yeah, I mean, now, given this new information, that's probably the one my character would have really picked.
Yeah.
But I decided to stick by my original choice and go for control. Because I kind of wanted to just see how it was supposed to play out. Mm-hmm. So, and then you picked destruction now, because you didn't have synthesis as an option.
Yeah.
So
I watched them all in YouTube.
Yeah. So, the next kind of correction is the thing doesn't fire right away, giving Hackett enough time to order all fleets to evacuate to some rendezvous point. And there's a nice little scene. It was Liara telling Joker, like, we have to go. We can't wait.
Yeah, and that
anymore.
Character changes. I don't know how, but I've
right.
seen like different.
But that's fun. That was good. So we now know why they were leaving.
Once again, another like you know, it's almost like there's a checklist. Like,
yeah, now,
what do we have to fix?
Now that one wasn't so much force, but why wasn't that there before?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why did they think that we wouldn't wonder about that?
Yeah.
It's like how hard was that?
So then you know your colored explosion happens. That scene in London happens, but now we get more scenes in other planets.
Well, the nice thing is, and it's actually one of my favorite things is. Right after the scene where you see, like, the Reapers either get destroyed, like, you know, either turn green, red, or blue,
mm-hmm.
there's now a scene where there's just two soldiers
fighting
husk. And depending on the color, like, you'll see the wave hit the husk, and it'll do something very different for the, you know, for the red, the husk just gets obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
For blue, the husk is
just runs off,
and runs away. And for green, like, the husk, like, kind of, like, shakes, like, it looks more human, like, kind of stands with them, you know, because they're all equal.
There we
so,
go.
So, like, even that alone, like, oh, thank you, it's different.
And like I said, you get to see what's happening on other planets. It's all hunky-dory.
This is where they just had to change something out, right, because it was bad before. Mm-hmm. But the Mass Effect relays no longer explode. The little cores explode.
Yeah.
But they do not blow up like they used to.
Even still.
It's more of an energy, like, expulsion than it is like the whole thing explodes.
Yeah. But even then, like, in my control ending, the Reapers were rebuilding the Mass Relays.
Well, they make a big point to kind of call to you and say in all of them, the Mass Effect Relays will be rebuilt, don't mm-hmm. worry.
Yeah.
And there is, like, a little coddling, like, it's okay.
Then even, like, it went to that original ending where, like, everyone comes out on that, like, planet they wrecked in. But then they left.
Which is weird, though, because it makes me feel like, well, why
that's a change.
It's like, I feel like that is very much... that scene makes me feel like, is this what they intended all along? Because now they're just leaving that planet. I still feel like...
Like the grandpa and the kid were on that stranded planet?
I still feel like they wanted to do, like, it's an Eden thing. They're literally stranded there. They're going to make a society. And then they realize that was dumb. So yeah. they just have them leaving now.
Yeah, that is a big change. They left. Now, again, I loved the scene where they put your plaque on the wall in the Normandy. Fantastic. My only complaint... That's one place they could have utilized the fact that your character has a first name.
Yeah, how are that a bit? Commander Shepard.
Can we put, like, Miranda Shepard?
I would have liked if they were all like, shit, what was his first name?
Yeah.
Like,
but, you know, like, Caden put it on the wall.
Yeah, your
he
love
looks
just
very
puts it
torn
on
up.
It's
I was
nice.
Like, yes, thank you. God, yes. And you see, like, in my ending, I saw, like, this ethereal voice of Femme Shep talking about what she was and the sacrifice she made.
Yeah, Hackett narrates the red ending. I still call him by that color, but the destruction ending. Uh-huh. Edie narrates the synthesis setting.
So yeah, I mean, that was great. I got to see even how Shepard reacted to what happened. Basically, we got to see how everyone reacted to the events. It doesn't end on the climax. There is falling
there
action
is, there is
now.
Yeah, there is some explanation.
Yes.
It's better. I mean,
the final message at the end of the game isn't like, buy DLC.
Yeah, it's like, thank you, we're sorry, yeah. Let's say we're sorry, but it might as well have.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have, like, the slideshow thing, which is sort of... It reminded me of, like, the Fallout 3 ending.
Yeah,
it's
that was, like,
cheap,
a little chintzy. That,
but,
yeah, like,
you know, it's like, ugh, go again.
Whatever. But yeah, I mean, you got to see some Krogan having babies, if that's the choice you made. Yeah, again, at least the events of this ending reflected the choices you made throughout
right,
the game.
Like, at least a little bit. Like,
right.
It's not like
but that's
huge,
all I need.
Yeah, you just need a little bit.
Because that was the thing. All the choices you made in 1 and 2, the reason they mattered is because they came back in 3. Or 1 and, you know, the choices in 1 came back in 2. If the choices you make in 3 don't come up at the ending, they're not going to come up anywhere else.
Right,
they have to
matter.
Have some kind of effect on something. And they really didn't before.
So, indoctrination theory, that's...
It's gone. That's not...
A lot of people were holding on to that.
Yeah, I mean...
I never bought it.
I always thought it was a lot of interesting conveniences, but yeah, I was like, there's no way this is what they were going for.
I think those are the people who won't like this ending are the people
because
who are,
they like indoctrination
right.
theory.
Yeah. And like, guys, it sounded good, but yeah, sorry, they were not actually planning that at all. Or, if, I mean, because if they were planning that, then I don't know why they would back away to it in this extent when they could have just gone for it,
yeah.
right?
No, you know, I mean, honestly, this was good. Thank you.
I mean,
you saved my favorite gaming series.
It would have been so much nicer if we had this from the beginning.
I know. I really can't believe they couldn't look at that ending they had and said, how did that ship get there? Why are they on the ship? We should explain that.
Like, what bothered me is that, because you have to play a lot of the game again to do it. And you're playing through it again, and you're not nearly as emotionally invested in it this
time.
Well,
at least the scene it starts on where they want you to load is, well, a sex scene, basically. But at least it did help to get me, like, oh, yeah.
See, I never got really back into it. Because I hated the ending so much the first
time.
Well,
and you were spacebarring through your conversations, everything.
Sure.
I took my time through it. I still played it out.
Like,
because
I wanted to see the news. What did you do?
Yeah.
Now, and like I said, I was annoyed that I didn't get green. Somehow, I wasn't Paragon enough this time to talk the elusive man down.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but whatever. But, I mean, I'm glad they did it.
Yes.
It is weird. And I was very nervous that when they do the first thing with, like, the Normandy coming down and getting those people out of there, because it felt
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, at that moment, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. It felt weird.
It's going to be a lot of contrivances that explain stuff that they really didn't
like, I literally
through.
Had, like, a shit, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, I felt dirty.
The blanket voice started playing in my head, like, uh-oh.
Because it was very coddling. It was very, like, it's okay, guys, see, there they go. It didn't make much sense. I'm like, okay. But, I mean, it's still not, like, a great ending. It's
good. I'll say it's good. It's not great, but it's good. And
well, I don't even know if it's a matter of good or bad. It's an ending now.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you can at least say that.
But there is an ending, and you know, it the big thing that this really solves are plot holes, namely, like, you know, how's your crew member get on the Normandy? Why are they leaving the battle?
Yeah.
All the stuff with the Mass Effect relay. So basically, the assumption that like it seemed like they were insinuating that Galactic Civilization was destroyed. Apparently, that was not their intention.
Yeah.
Or if it is, they back down from it.
They did a good job of explaining it.
Yeah. You know. So how do you know your ending is bad if you don't intend for Galactic Civilization to end, but everybody thinks that's what happened?
Yeah.
That's when you mess up your ending.
That's when you know you. Yeah.
But you know, so like that's gone. Just offering some more explanation and like, you know, a bit more of a difference between the three endings. That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't thematically change the ending very much. Like some, you know, some of those like complaints about the structure, some like the more academic complaints about the ending probably still hold true. Like some of just the flaws of like, you know, you shouldn't introduce a major character in the last 10 minutes of your game or blah, 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 that kind of stuff. That's still there. You can argue if these three choices really thematically match up with the thing of the game.
I have to double check. It feels like even the initial conversation with the Star Child was changed. Well, I feel like I had a better idea of what that thing was. There was a line I did not remember the first time. Correct me if I'm wrong. Where Shepard says, "So you're just an AI," and it's like, "Yeah, no more than you're just an animal."
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's new because I thought the same thing.
That line alone.
That's a helpful.
Really helped me get a grasp on this. It's an AI, but it's like really fucking good AI.
And also, he kind of tells you that he, like, you know, like the people who created him, he turned into the first Reapers against their will.
Yeah, so it's not even like organics created the Reapers. It's a facsimile of itself.
It kind of, you know? It drives home the fact that this kid, the Star Child, is not like a good guy, or he's not
In my mind, it turned it into not a character, frankly.
Yeah.
It just became just a voice of the Reapers, basically. It was just another computer terminal to tell you what happened.
Yeah, basically. You know?
And that's fine. I'm better with that.
I guess so. Anything else you want to say about
it? No, I'm happy they did it. I think it turned out well. I mean, I got emotionally involved at the ending. I did. It gave me what I needed. I just needed some closure. And the other ending did not give you that.
No.
So, hooray. I could like this again.
I mean, a lot of people are upset that this even exists.
Yeah, and I don't get...
I wish they didn't have to do it, but they kind of had to do it.
Yeah. And look, it wasn't because whiny kids on the internet were crying about it, blah, blah, blah. If there was enough of a concern of people saying you really fucked up and they for free fix it, that's right there a concession of defeat.
I mean, do you not think do you think they wouldn't do this if they didn't have to, basically?
No, yeah, exactly.
I mean, they had to because people did not like the ending that much. They had to. I mean, this must have been expensive. Like, you know, there are fully rendered cutscenes and there's voice acting and all that stuff.
It's 1.9 gigabytes.
Yeah, and it's free.
That's a chunk of change.
So they took
right
a
there.
Big money back on this.
Mm-hmm.
Basically because they fucked up the story the first
time.
And
you know what? I'll commend them on that. Thank you.
I mean, they're taking a lot of heat. Like, oh, you artistic integrity. What have you done to the industry by doing this? They're taking a lot of crap like that. They don't deserve that, I think. I'm glad that they did do it at least.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. I mean, it's kind of rough for Bioware right now in general right now.
Yeah.
The guys have been taking a lot of shots.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's there.
Yep.
All right.
All right, so that's going to do it for us then. We'll, Mike's texting, so I'll finish this up.
Yeah.
Again, ebpodcast.com and all the social stuff we said before. Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the Mass Effect ending. Let us know what you did think on our Facebook page or on Twitter if you just want to say yay, nay. Try to leave out spoilers. Just tell us if it fixed it for you. And we'll see you next week right here in the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
It's funny. I wish you could see my mind racing. Like, what funny animal? Funny. I'm like saying the sentence like funny animal, funny animal, funny animal. Koala, pretty good.
It's pretty good.